You may be seated. If you would, turn your Bibles with me to Genesis, the 3rd chapter. Yes, sir. The 3rd chapter. Genesis. This is your first prosperity revival. Let me see your hands. Your first prosperity revival. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glad you're here. Praise God. All right. I'm asking these questions because it let me know what direction I need to go in. How many are in LTMA? Okay. All right. And let me ask this question. How many are members of an LTMA church? So I can. Okay, good, good, good. Tonight I'm going to deal with a subject in finances that a lot of people don't like. They don't like to talk about it because of ego, pride, because of independence. But God set a secret to financial dominance. And if you don't grab this secret of financial dominance, you will not go to that wealthy place. It's simple. It's going to be very simple. In Genesis, the 3rd chapter, the 23rd verse. Now, to set this up, this is at the end of the 3rd chapter where Adam and Eve was tricked by Satan. Then God, they had to face the first judgment ever. They had to face God. And God said they can't stay here in the garden, which was the wealthy place, like they are. All right? So he tell them, y'all got to go. But God did something wonderful for them on their way out. And this verse is going to tell us what he did. In the 23rd verse, he said, therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden. You see that? Yes. To till the ground whence he was taken. Now, you don't till no ground unless you get ready to. So, God, because of his sin nature, because of disobedience, they had to leave a wealthy place, but he left them with a pathway back. He left them with it, because why would God say he sent them out to go till the ground for which he came? You ain't tilling just to be tilling. You tilling because you're going to put something in it and you're going to expect a harvest from it. Right? So God let him leave out of Eden with the most valuable thing that was in Eden. Right. See, y'all thought it was the gold.
Come on.
See, y'all thought it was the rivers and y'all thought it was the abundance, but it was the seed that was the most important, because in Genesis 1, I think it's what, 28, 29, it says it gave herb bearing seed. They reproduce after his own kind. So God put them out of Eden with a way to get back to Eden.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Do you see this?
Yes, sir.
Now, God, in doing that, and the reason why I asked who's first time prosperity Bibles, so I can know what I need to cover, and who's in LTMA, because sometimes tonight it's going to sound like I'm preaching to the choir. But there are some people who don't quite know this secret. Uh-huh. Yeah. And tonight they'll learn it and they will have a choice.
Yeah.
As to whether they want to exercise this secret.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes,
sir. Go with me to Genesis, the 12th chapter. Now, in them leaving with the seed, They left with the seed. But they had no direction with the seed. All they know is I got to start tilling and planting.
Yeah, yeah.
But then God came back and secretly gave direction for the seed.
Wow, right.
Gave the seed. Watch this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He gave the seed a purpose other than a harvest.
Yeah. Wow. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so if you can combine the two,
All right.
If you can combine the two, then you can find your way back to Eden.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Genesis the 12th chapter. Genesis the 12th chapter, 12th verse, very familiar scripture, 1-3. All right, Genesis the 12th chapter, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Underline that I will show thee. Then God continues to talk to Abraham. He said, and I will make of thee a great nation. Underline this. He's going to show him a land first. Then he's going to make of him. So in other words, from him going to come a great nation.
Right.
All right. Underline that. Then God say, and I will bless thee. And make thy name great. Now watch this. And he say, and thou shalt be a blessing. Then God continues his conversation with Abram and said, and I will bless them that bless thee. Or another word for bless is empower to prosper. I will empower to prosper those that empower you to prosper. Now, wait a minute now. God is saying, I'm going to be responsible for causing those to prosper that cause you to be successful, Abram. But in the second verse, he said, thou shalt be a blessing. So wait a minute now. Who blessing who? Who blessing who?
Yeah, yeah. Yes, sir.
That's a good question. He told Abram, I'm going to be responsible for prospering those that cause you to be successful. Watch this. Successful at what? He's telling Abraham, I'm going to cause those to prosper that cause you to be successful. That assist you in your success. What is it that they're going to help him be a success with? He said, I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee. And make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. Are you listening? And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curse thee. Here's the ultimate goal. And in thee, you, Abram, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, you got to see what God was doing here. God was trying to create. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. God in this 12th chapter was showing us where Eden was.
Yes, sir. Come on, Dr. Thompson.
And 1-3, he was showing us where Eden was because now Eden is no longer a location. It was a location, but it's no longer a location. Watch this. Eden is now an agenda.
Yeah.
Eden is now an agenda.
Yeah.
He told Abram, he said, I want you to go to a land I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And in you, Abram, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So here God is telling Abram, those that help you are going to find Eden in their lives.
I need this, Darius.
I know you're listening. This is a specific title. Everyone must find their Abraham. If you don't find your Abraham, you can't find your wealthy place. See, y'all stuck on the name Abram and the person. But you got to see what Abram was representing. Abram was representing a great nation. Until all the families of the earth be blessed. That sounds like an agenda.
Absolutely.
The goal is that all the families of the earth be blessed. That's what God wanted.
Right.
That's his agenda.
That's his agenda. Yeah.
So in order to get to that agenda, you got to go through Abram.
See,
ego and pride stops people from finding their wealthy place. Because Abram embodied God's agenda. So watch this. What I said it too. When you take your seed and you find your Abram, and then you allow your seed to help your Abram achieve what God has called them to do, then God say, I'm going to be the one responsible for helping you find your wealthy place. I'm going to bless those that. See, Adam left the garden with the seed, but no direction. But God here in this 12th chapter is now giving our seed direction.
That's good.
Be seated.
Lord.
So everybody has to find that they're Abraham. The issue, let me say this, the apostolic or the agenda of God has to be known. If you don't know the agenda of God, then where as a Christian am I going to give? So if the agenda of God is not known, there's no place for me to sow. So if there's no place for me to sow, there's no way I can reap a harvest. And so what the pastoral model has done is created a bunch of entities that have no agenda. Oh, they may have vision. They may have vision, but is the vision, did the vision come from the agenda? Because an agenda, a vision that, watch this, a pastor that that has not been connected to an apostle just has a made up vision. It didn't come from an agenda. So therefore, if you're tithing and you're giving seed into a vision that's not connected to an apostle, then you just like Adam. You sowing seed with no direction. Now, let's look at this from, you know, in the economy, we got to, you know, they say, let's look at our economy from a macro level. Then you got the micro level. Micro is local, macro is bigger, right? So let's look at this from a macro level. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because, see, we don't know how to finish that scripture. That scripture got to be finished. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because the priest rejected knowledge. Everyone has to find their Abraham.
Amen.
Every prophet.
Yep.
Watch this. Every apostle. Every pastor. Every evangelist. Every teacher. Got to find their Abraham.
Amen.
Glory to God. See, the fivefold don't want to talk about this too much because we want to focus more on our anointing.
All right. Come on. Right. Yeah.
We will focus on our anointing. We'll focus on what God is saying to us. And what God is. Now, for those of you who are not called to the fivefold, I'm talking to my brethren pretty much tonight.
Yeah.
And I want you to listen in so you'll know how to relate to your man or woman of God. All right. So don't think I'm talking over your head or I'm just dealing with family business. And as I deal with family business, I hope some people are listening that are in the fivefold that can understand this secret. Because we got too many people in the ministry, too many fivefold in the ministry trying to receive offering, but haven't proven the offering. Trying to preach on finances, but haven't gone through the process.
Yeah, right.
That's why they teach principles and hope you listen to the principles while they not listen to the principles.
Yeah.
Oh, you won't believe some of the games. You won't believe some of the games that are played in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of it. Because the game that are being played is tying up the people of God.
Yeah.
I just proved to you, that without having an agenda that I can participate in, I can't receive a harvest.
Right.
So God told Abram, I'm going to bless those that bless you until all the families of the earth be blessed. Abraham represented what God wanted. Now, notice I told you,
everybody
got to find the Abraham.
Yeah.
Because if you don't find your Abraham, there's nowhere for you to sow. When I say everybody, I mean everybody.
Yeah.
Do you know Abram found his Abram? Come on to Genesis the 14th chapter. Come on, Genesis the 14th chapter.
Yes, sir.
See, God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he'll make it good. I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. Once he puts something in motion, he ain't changing for nobody. Now, God wasn't changing even before that scripture came that I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. Before then, he wasn't changing. So when God has a principle, just because we find out the principle, God was already that principle before. So watch this. In the 14th chapter, this is after he had to go get Lot, I think it was Lot. He had to go get him and get him out of trouble and what's not. And look at the 17th verse, because I want to read the 17th verse because it's very important, because something significant happened here. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of the Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him. Kings were with him, right?
Yes.
At the valley of Sheveh, which is the king's dale. King showed up to go talk to Abram, because Abram had just won a war that they were happy he had won for them.
Right.
All right? Verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth wine, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Verse 20. And he blessed him, verse 19, and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hands. And Abram gave Melchizedek tithes of all. Now, y'all got to understand the significance of this. See, people readers don't understand the significance of this. There's two significant things that happen here. Two significant things. The first thing that was significant that happened is that Melchizedek was God made flesh. So that means that God, it was so important what he said in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, that he showed up in the flesh to receive tithes of Abraham so nobody would have no excuse about they can't find Abraham. I'm a student of the Bible. I like studying. When apostle ministers and preach the word of God, I usually go back home and I run through what he says and I study it. Because it's one thing for him to know it. But now I got to know it. So I do take him at his word, but I go and study. So for those who need reference to what I just said, because preachers be saying stuff sometimes, that Melchizedek was made flesh, I need you to read Hebrews 7. Write that down in your notes. Read Hebrews 7, and you'll see that it showed that the Apostle Paul, through Revelation, showed us who Melchizedek was. All right, so we see the first significant thing that happened was that God became flesh to uphold Genesis 12, 1 through 3.
Yes, sir.
See, he can't tell Abraham, I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to bless those that bless you and not give Abraham a way to be the blessing. So he became flesh so that Abraham could tithe, which then now the blessing can come on. See, if Melchizedek hadn't showed up in the flesh, there was no way for Abraham to become the blessing. So God is showing us that the blessing got to come from your interaction with another human. The blessing has to come from your interaction through another human that is carrying the agenda of God. Other words, let's simply put it like this, who is apostolic.
Yes, sir.
Be seated, be seated, be seated. Be seated. Now, the second thing that was significant that happened in this particular passage, I want you to read it because I need you to see it. Verse 17, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's den. Now, this is going to take the significance of what's been happening, especially in our country, for the past year.
Yes, sir.
Listen. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. There it is. He said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor. This is God saying, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, and it's God standing there looking him in the face. That's how Abram got the blessing, because God became flesh and Abraham tithes. So God said, let's keep reading. Verse 20, and blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he, Abram, gave him Melchizedek tithes of all. Verse 21, and the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Verse 22, and Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hands unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten and a portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eschol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Here's the second significant thing that happened in this moment. God was establishing another government because the king of Sodom showed up first talking to Abram.
Yeah.
Melchizedek showed up. Abram stopped talking to them.
Yeah.
He stopped talking to the world system government. He stopped paying attention to the world system government. So, you have to come off this world system. If you up here with the rest of these people saying that your life is going to be better when one president is president rather than another one, then you're not off the system. And here it is, Abram is proving to us that there's another government. There's another king. So if you pay attention to that king, the rest of these kings don't matter. So frankly, I don't care what happened tonight. I don't. Neither should you. Be seated. It just don't matter. I don't care who president. I got another government. I got another government, and I found my Abraham. All right, be seated. Now, chapter 15 is a continuation of the same event. The world system government showed up, and their pomp and properness and circumstance, and we're coming as kings to greet you and to tell you what a wonderful job you did on the wall. Abraham left him standing there when Melchizedek showed up. Let me turn my attention to this other government. Then when he finished with the other government, then he went back to that government and told them what he was going to do.
Right.
The Bible is plainly written. He says in chapter 15, verse 1, after these things, after what things? The transaction just happened. God saw that Abraham was going to trust him rather than them kings. You see this? After this, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. That scripture by itself will preach. The first thing he says, fear not. If you are in fear about your financial future, you need to do what Abraham did. Because the first thing God told him was, fear not. So if you're in fear about your financial future, then there's some things that we have been doing properly. He says, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Everyone must find their Abraham.
Amen.
As I was saying earlier, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because the priests rejected it. Every person must find their Abram.
Yes, sir.
Now, here's the thing. You are responsible for finding your Abram. Let me say it. This is a better way to say it. Let me say it like this. You are responsible for recognizing your Abram. Here's why God set it up like that. God set it up that way because, once again, the reason why God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the center of the garden is he wanted Adam and Eve to have a choice. The reason why is, now remember now, they were in Eden with a choice. They got put out of Eden, but they got put out with a seed. God said in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, I'm going to show you how to get back to the Garden of Eden. But it's going to be your choice. So why, this is why you're responsible for recognizing your Abraham.
Yes.
Because it has to be your choice.
Yes.
It can't be nothing forced upon you. See, here's what Christians get it confused at. They figure, okay, I choose not to find my Abram, but I'm going to do it another way. Then that's why Christians tend to struggle. Because God said in Genesis 1 through 3, he said, I'm going to bless those, Abram, that bless you. Now, we're going to see a pattern throughout the Bible of people finding it Abram's. Well, I just showed you Abram finding his own Abram. See, let's get this straight. Abram, forget the person. Don't focus on the human. Focus on what the human is carrying, what the human is representing. See, Abram had no issues with Melchizedek because Melchizedek just showed up out of nowhere. But he recognized. Now, what's the first thing he did when he recognized? It was Abraham's responsibility, because remember now, they had a bunch of kings out there.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yep. Yep.
But Abraham started talking to a certain set of kings to go talk to another king he knew had superiority over those kings. So it's a choice. That's why you have to recognize. And watch this. Only you have to recognize. You don't need the approval of anybody else to second your emotion. This is an individual thing. You have to recognize. First Kings. Let's see. First Kings 17. First Kings 17. I'm going to shock y'all with one person that found an Abram that you wouldn't believe found an Abram. That's why I asked y'all to pray with the Holy Spirit. Because what I'm going to say, some of y'all are going to be like, huh? First Kings 17, look at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded. Underline the word commanded. Amen. God say, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and went. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little of water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Verse 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Yeah. Now, watch this. Here's why it's your choice. The Bible says that God told Elijah, I have already talked to this woman. And gave her instructions. So he left and went to Zarephath. When he saw it, when he got to the gate, he saw the woman. Now, he saw the woman, but the woman had to recognize him. Notice he ain't walking and say, I'm the mighty man of God. She had to recognize him. This is why I get mad when preachers want to use this scripture out of context. Don't bring nobody no money that they telling you to bring, and certain amounts they bring, if God ain't told you.
That's right.
Because God ain't telling no preacher to tell you no amounts to bring unless he told you first. I got Bible. What that is, that's a product of preachers not going through the process. They ain't find Abraham. So they got to figure a way to get money out of you. Everybody has to find.
Yes, sir.
So these preachers, they be trying to use this scripture out of context, is trying to bypass Genesis 12, 1 through 3.
Right.
See, God ain't making it wide open to Eden.
Yeah.
Where everybody can get in.
Yeah, right. Come on now.
He ain't making it wide open.
Yeah.
There are some things, some choices you got to make, some things you got to do, some prices you got to pay. Jesus died on the cross so that we won't be broke. But God gave you the seed to initiate it. This woman found her Abraham. She recognized her Abraham. And she made a move. Abraham, really, Elijah, be honest, Elijah really wasn't too much caring about the woman. He really wasn't. You got to remember where he had come from. The brook had been dried up. The ravens had stopped coming. The Lord said, get these there, but I've commanded when the woman to sustain you. He was worried about being sustained.
Right.
He was carrying the agenda.
Yeah.
But the woman needed the agenda to come her direction so she could be sustained. Because God said, I will bless those. So God stopped feeding him because he was carrying the agenda to get him in the way of this woman. So God was doing her a favor by stop feeding Elijah. He really wasn't concerned, because if you notice what he said, after he said, I'm gonna get the sticks, I ain't got much food left. I was planning on getting the sticks and dress it so that me and my son can eat it and die. Elijah responds, well, okay, go ahead and do that. Go ahead and fix it. If you're gonna die, go ahead and die. But just make me a cake first before you die. What am I saying? It's funny, but what am I saying? I am saying that you shouldn't expect your Abraham to be concerned by your financial situation. Why? Because God said, I'm going to bless those. I am going to be responsible for empowering the prosper those that cause you to be successful, Abraham. So in this case, God was telling the woman, hey, I'm going to be responsible for you and your son eating because you have helped my servant. I'm going to be responsible that barrel won't waste and the oil won't run out.
Yes.
Not Elijah, God said it.
Yes. Yes.
Be seated. Everyone must find the Abraham. Go with me to 1 Samuel 22. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Samuel 22. Verse 1, David then therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in, and everyone that was gathered themselves unto David. And he became a captain over them. Government. There were with him about 400 men. Debt, distress, and discontentment. They left from their place of debt, distress, and discontentment and joined themselves to somebody who had an agenda. See, this pattern is all through the Bible. They joined themselves to somebody who had an agenda from God. So when they attached themselves to that agenda, what is 1 Chronicles 20, 29? Go there. Now, when they say they attached, keep turning, but when they say they attached themselves to his to David, that didn't mean that they just hanging on for dear life.
Right.
That means they came to carry their weight. See, one of the problems with the pastoral model is the pastoral is more focused on feeding you rather than training you.
Yeah, right.
They're more focused on solving your problems than making you a problem solver.
Yes, sir.
Ephesians 4, verse 11 gives us the five gifts that Jesus gave to us to do, verse 12, for the perfecting or the maturity of the saints. You got to grow up. Why you got to grow up? Because you got some work to do in the ministry. Because if you don't do the work in the ministry, the body of Christ can't grow. So we have to attach ourselves to an agenda. You have to attach. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Go to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter, and I'm gonna come back. I may get back to 1 Chronicles 29, but you read 1 Chronicles 29. The same people that was in 1 Samuel 22, they was in 1 Chronicles 29, giving right along with David.
Right.
Now remember, they was all in debt, distress, and discontentment.
Right.
They ain't had no money.
Right.
They was busted and disgusted.
Yeah.
But then by the time they joined themselves to an agenda from God, which was embodied
in
a man. Then their lives begin to change. All they did was they took their seed and themselves and attached it to David. They say, matter of fact, I believe it's a little, I think it's 1 Chronicles. One, they had another group of people that attached themselves to David, and they came out and said, David, we are yours. We are yours. And then David accepted them and trained them and put them as captains over. And you see them same people in 1 Chronicles 29. David gave his amount of money to build the temple. They came right behind him and gave their amount.
Yes, sir.
It all began in 1 Samuel 22. They all started off in debt, distress, and discontentment. But they stuck with the agenda of God that was embodied in a man. 2 Corinthians 8. I'm almost finished. 2 Corinthians 8. Let me get there. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. All right, let's start at verse 1. I'm going to read it real quick. Moreover, brethren, we do the wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and a deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality, meaning they were giving. For to their power, I bear you record, even beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And they did this not as we planned, not as we hoped. They made a choice, but first gave their own selves. I'm glad the Apostle Paul wrote this. Gave their own selves to the Lord, and underline that, and unto us by the will of God. So it was in God's perfect will for them to give themselves and their resources to the Apostle Paul, who was their Abraham.
Yes, sir.
He embodied the agenda of God.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes, sir.
That's good. Yes.
All right, you ready? Go with me to Matthew's, the 3rd chapter. Are you ready for this?
Yes, sir.
Remember I say everybody
yes,
has to find an Abraham.
Yes,
all right, before we get to Matthew 3, get to Matthew 3. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Get to Matthew 3. Get to Matthew 3. Get to turning. I ain't got much time. Get to turning. Matthew 3. All right, and hold your finger down. All right, now go to Luke 16. Luke 16, verse 10. In another session, I will deal with 1 through 9, because that ain't, some of y'all think that, but Jesus wasn't confused when he was talking there. He was making a point. But in verse 10, he says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much." Watch this. "If therefore you have not been faithful, full of faith, full of assignment, full of God's instructions, in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" All right? Now, Jesus said this in verse 12. Because you got to realize, he was talking to people he was training. His disciples, who were going to eventually be apostles. He said in verse 12, "And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" Now, Jesus couldn't have said this if he hadn't practiced it. So even Jesus had to find look at the faces. Because Jesus is not a hypocrite.
Right.
He is the word of God that became flesh.
Yeah.
So everything he asking us to do, he already did.
Yeah.
And he died on the cross so that the sin nature can be taken off of us so we can do what he's asked us to do. So Jesus ain't gonna tell us to do something and he hadn't practiced it.
Right.
Okay. Matthews. Matthews. Matthews, the 3rd chapter. Matthew's the 3rd chapter and the 13th verse. "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me?" And watch what Jesus answered him. "And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now." Allow it to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
"For this is becometh of us."
Yeah.
This is necessary for us to do.
Yeah.
So that we can fulfill.
All right.
What it said?
All righteousness.
It didn't say righteousness.
Right.
It said all righteousness. What Jesus was saying is, it is necessary for me to support you and to help you in ministry so that I can do what God has called me to do in the earth realm. You don't think he allowed that man to baptize him and didn't support his ministry? If you think that way, then you think Jesus is a hypocrite. You think Jesus ain't applied the principles that he's teaching. He said, if you're not faithful in that which is another man, who would give you that which is your own? Jesus had to be faithful. See, y'all forget, Jesus came to earth to become a human so that he can die for humans. The Bible says he stripped himself. The Bible says he took on every temptation that we had to face.
Yes, sir.
So that, so what happens is the pastoral model has caused us to ignore this. Has caused us to ignore Genesis 12, 1 through 3. So Genesis 12, 1 through 3 never crossed our mind when Jesus showed up to John the Baptist. When he showed up to John the Baptist, he says so that all righteousness can be fulfilled. Jesus says so every principle that God has set for the people I'm going to die for to work, I need to work on myself. All right. Go to Luke the sixth chapter. Be seated. Go to Luke the sixth chapter. Come on, Luke the sixth chapter. Watch this. Y'all need more proof. Luke the sixth chapter. Luke the sixth chapter. Watch. Luke the sixth chapter, verse 38. He said, give. And it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Jesus was talking to a bunch of future preachers. Can the blind, can the broke lead the... All right, go to the next verse. The disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone that allows the teacher to mature them will become like the teacher. So Jesus was telling the disciples, listen, if y'all don't get to support me like I have supported, because see, he said give, right? It was supposed to be understood that Jesus was talking apostolically. Jesus had, was telling them, I had found my Abram. I supported my Abram. Be seated real quick. Watch this. See, this is why I asked how many LTMA, because I need, the last 8 minutes, I need to testify a little bit and explain to you what brought LTMA into fruition. Because Genesis 1 through 3 is embodied in LTMA. That's why it's important that you find your Abram. Now, those of us in LTMA, we found our Abram. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm giving you clarity of how important it is for you to recognize that you found your Abram. What LTMA has done is organize, structure government. Structured a means by which you can attain what Apostle did on accident. See, people don't know. See, so I'm going to say people don't know. Brother Hagin is Apostle's Abram. So I bet you I don't have time, but if I would dig in Brother Hagin's history, I could go find his Abram. Because you can't be that anointed. See, Brother Hagin really didn't talk about money. He didn't really talk about money much. He was anointed. He didn't talk about money. But money just showed up to him. Because I know he was working a principle that when he found his Abram, Brother Hagin was supporting his Abram. There were times when, people don't know this, Brother Apostle took his aircraft, the first aircraft he had, went picked Brother Hagin up, flew him to Canada, and told him, get as many suits as you want. In other words, he would tell him, get as much armor as you need to go fight your battles. Because you wear a suit when you preach. That's your armor. That's your suit. This is how we dress when we preach the gospel. He said, go and get as many suits as you want. Brother Hagin came to the Holy Ghost meeting here. Came to a Holy Ghost meeting. And I'll never forget this. We were sitting as a family and we were discussing, what can we do? What can we do? They come in. What can we do? And we come up with the idea. I know we can do. We can pay his budget before he get here, so all the money he received can be just over the top land. See, these are things that people don't know that Apostle did. A man made a statement one time, and I didn't understand it at the time. I won't call him. He made a statement. He said, "I'm not supporting that ministry." He was talking about, "I'm not supporting Brother Hagin ministry." because it seemed like it's a one-way street. But I understand now through the apostolic, it's supposed to be a one-way street. Because Brother Hagin wasn't responsible for our prosperity. God was responsible. I will bless those. Every camp meeting, apostle would go and bring a check. Apostle would mail checks. Apostle would make sure Brother Hagin got this. Make sure Brother Hagin got that. Make sure Brother Hagin got this. He wanted to make sure. He wanted to make sure. He wasn't concerned about his ministry. Because he understood that if I could be faithful in that which... Do y'all know that Genesis 12 and 2 and Luke 16 and I think it's 15 is equal? It's saying the same thing. Yeah. Jesus was just repeating what God told Abram in the New Testament.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you'll be faithful in that which is another man, I'll give you home.
Yeah.
All he was saying was, I'm going to bless you because you've blessed or you caused your Abraham to be successful in what I've called them to do.
Yeah. That's good.
Everybody has to find. If Jesus had to find his Abraham, it should be no issue with you finding. Jesus couldn't have died and become poor so that we become rich if he hadn't found his Abraham. Remember, he said to fulfill all righteousness. See, the body of Christ got too many preachers that trying to receive offerings but haven't gone through the process. So you're sowing in dead ground. Everybody got to find their Abraham. If you don't find your Abraham according to Genesis 1 through 3, you can't find your way back in.
Right.
Because God said, I'm going to bless those that bless you. And the ultimate goal for God is that every family of the earth be blessed, be prosperous, have more than enough.
Yes.
That can't happen if you don't find your Abraham.
Yes,
See, I don't want you to think about the humanity. Think about what the humanity is embodying. Let me read this right quick. You be seated. So you might want to take notes. Be seated. Let me read this right quick and I'm going to sit down. What should I look for in Abraham? Number one, they must be apostolic. Or they must carry the agenda of God or be connected to the agenda of God. Two, God must be their source. Other words, your offering and your tithe ain't going to make no difference to them. Because if you don't give nothing, God gonna get it to him one way or the other. It's just you have an opportunity to be a... All right, we got that. They can't compromise for you to stay to give. They won't compromise for you to stay to give. Matter of fact, that is more important than being anointed. Because I know some anointed people that be begging for money. They truly anointed, but they beg for money. So therefore, they're compromised. Number three, they must have a pedigree of finding their Abraham. If you in LTMA and you in your churches and you don't mention apostle, nobody got nothing to track. How I know you good ground? How I know this is a vision that's attached to an agenda and not just something you made up? They must be, number four, and I'm closing. They must be allowed to hold you accountable, whether you are in the vicinity or from a distance. That means that whether you get close to apostle or not, he should have, if you're an LTMA, whether you get close to him in his personal space or not, he should have the right. Word of life, whether we're in his personal space or not, he should have the right online. Whether you're in his personal space or distance, he should have the right to hold you accountable. You say, how are you going to hold me accountable? There's some times when apostle be preaching and run right across your road. Just plow it crossways. You got to be adult enough in the spirit to say, he talking to me. I need a change. They must be allowed to hold you accountable whether you are in the vicinity or not.
Yes, sir.
You doing the offering? Who doing the offering? I'm doing the offering. Who doing it? Because I'm done. Come on, Montrell.